Good morning. We are thankful and we count it a privilege to be able to come and share with you today what the Lord is doing in Uganda. And just to let you know, he's doing a lot and we get to be a part of what he's doing. Before we get started, I wanted to just share with you a little bit about our family. So our oldest, Caleb, he's the one in the gray shirt. He is 22. And if you've read our prayer letters or such, you know that he's in Kansas City, Kansas, and he's working with construction. One of the things that he wanted to do was to do like an apprenticeship kind of thing. Dream is to do it on his own someday, but right now he has a lot to learn. So we're thankful for this opportunity for him. Austin is in the black shirt. Austin is 20, and he is in his junior year at Asbury University in Wilmore, Kentucky. And he is thrilled to be there, loves every day. He's hard. He's got a lot of work to do because he's also an assistant manager at Hibbett Sports in Lexington, Kentucky. So between classes, full classes, and as much hours as he can fit in there working, he's a busy guy. You can be praying for Austin. The Lord has led him into a ministry as a counselor for teenagers. So that's why he's in university. And his dream is to someday go back to Uganda, to the school that all of our kids went to in Uganda, and to be the counselor there. Emily, there in the middle, our only daughter, she's 18, and she is here in Illinois with us. And she is attending Lakeland College right now for 2 years. And then she's going to transfer who knows where. But she wants to study, she wants to be an animal-assisted therapist. So she wants to take animals into hospitals or into facilities to help people with their therapy or with their rehabilitation or things like that. One of her goals in life was to reach 5 foot, and she has done it. She works at Sarah Bush Hospital in Mattoon, and she's a food service, so she knocks on the door and she says, "Room service." I guess they want people to think they're in a hotel instead of in the hospital, but that's what they're supposed to say. So she's enjoying her work and then also doing full-time school. So our kids are very busy. You can be praying for them as we head back to Uganda in January, and they stay here, probably play for me more, but... But you can be praying for them because they're in 3 different states doing their thing, and then their parents will be in a different country as well. So soon, right now, empty nest seems like a disease to me, but people tell me that it's a great thing, so I'm waiting for that day for it to be great. What a blessing it is to be able to impact nations wherever we are. Even here in the U.S., we're seeing a lot of nations coming into the U.S., and we have the opportunity to impact nations wherever we are. But I have had the joy and the privilege of impacting nations at Heritage International School for a number of years now. Heritage is a Christian international school that reaches 28 countries from around the world. So we have a mission field right there. The school is from 2 years old up to 12th grade. And so we have people from all cultures, many cultures from around the world, and they're all coming together at this one facility. So I don't have to go very far to reach nations. They're just down the road. And what a blessing and joy it has been for me to be able to work there. I've had numerous hats at the school. I've been the administrative secretary. I've been the librarian. I've been the PTF, which is like PTA here in the States. I've been the PTF chair and co-chair and hostess and many things on that committee. But the last 3 years, I was asked to be the communications officer for the school. So that meant that I was communicating with parents through email or face-to-face. I was also asked to be the senior class coordinator for those years. And that's what I love doing. I used to be terrified of teenagers until my own kids became teenagers, and I realized it wasn't so bad after all. But the Lord blessed me in a way with working with those teenagers that I never dreamed even possible. I realized that building relationships is really where it's at. If you can't build a relationship with someone, then how are you going to really be effective in sharing Jesus with them? So over the 3 years that I was working with the seniors, I helped them raise their support to go on their senior class trip at the end of the year. And so we made gazillions of cookies in my kitchen and sold those, raising money. And we just did all kinds of things, building relationships around my table and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of Christmas cookies that we made last year. And these kids had no idea how to decorate cookies, but they learned. And they had fun with it. And we had a great time just working together. And many days, we had no idea how many were going to be around our dining table in the evening. Could be just Kenneth and Emily and I, or it could be another 9 or 10 added to the mix. They called me Mrs. Mom instead of Mrs. Hobson. And so that was special. One young man came to Heritage at the beginning of his senior year. He was Ugandan, and he was raised in Senegal, and then he came back to Uganda for his senior year. And I think that would be awful to have to change countries, change schools, change friends your senior year. But that's what he did. His parents were relocated back to Uganda, and Ivan was a very quiet young man. Didn't talk to anyone. He carried a backpack on the front and the back. I have no idea what was all in those backpacks, but he did. And he was just a very unique young man. And it was really difficult to get him to smile or to get him to talk. And you could, but it was very difficult. Ivan accepted Jesus as his personal Savior at the end of the first semester, his senior year. And completely changed his outlook. He smiled all the time. He greeted you. He would talk to you. He's a debater. He's going to be a lawyer, and that's perfect for him because he will debate his socks off and yours too. And he just debated everything. And it took a really long time for Ivan to actually decide to become a Christian. I mean, he debated it, whether it was the right thing or the wrong thing or whether it was the truth or the not. And just everything. And finally, he came to the point where this is truth, and he wanted to be a part of it. So he was mentored for the second semester and discipled, and not by me, but by someone else. And sadly, that person helped Ivan to think that he needed, in order to be a Christian, he needed to be grounded in the Word, like right now, and he needed to be able to spend hours and hours and hours in the Word and praying. And he was like, it's impossible. I can't do that. So a couple of months ago, I was talking to Ivan, and he told me this, that he said, Mrs. Hobson, I think I'm just going to have to not be a Christian because I just don't have the time. I'm just going to have to forget about it. And I said, whoa, 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 wait a minute. You're telling me that you want to just hang up being a Christian because you don't have 4 hours to focus on this. He said, yeah, I mean, God must just really be ready to, you know, cast me to the side because I don't have time. I said, Ivan, please understand. When you're walking to class, you can talk to Jesus. When you're getting ready in the morning, you can talk to Jesus. Yes, he wants you in his Word. He wants you learning about him. But you can take one verse, and you can think about that verse through the day, between classes, on the way to class, while you're making your dinner, whatever it is. God is not asking you to spend half of your day in order to be a Christian. He's ready, and he's willing, and he's waiting for you to come at any moment, at any time, for as long as you have to be able to focus on him. And that was like somebody had opened a gift for him. He just did not understand. That's what building relationships is all about. If I had not built that relationship with him, he would not have accepted what I said. When I was a little girl, my grandmother taught me a song. And she had two green thumbs. She could make anything grow. I'm having a trouble keeping an English ivy alive right now. But she could make anything grow. But she taught me a song that says, "Sow a little gospel seed, plant it deep within the heart. Cover it with prayer and water it with love. Then just let the sun shine in and help that seed to grow. Sow a gospel seed each day. Take it everywhere you go." We can plant seeds along our path everywhere we go. We're not always the ones that get to water it, but we can pray over it. We're not always the ones that get to see it bloom, but someday it will. And that's the blessing that I have had, is to be able to plant gospel seeds in these the hearts of these kids, in my home, in my day-to-day living, at the school, wherever it is. And many of them I'm in contact with even now. And just asking them, how's university going? How's it, you know, because some of them are in countries that they're not from. There's one young man that's from Uganda, and he's in Scotland going to school. So these kids have literally spread across the world. And yet we still have an opportunity. I still have an opportunity to water those seeds, even from a distance. So what a blessing that is. Now, when we left in June from Uganda, I said goodbye to the school. I resigned from my position, and I feel like the Lord has led me into something new. So I will be beginning two new ministries when I go back to Uganda. I'm going to be working, still impacting nations. I'm going to work with International Women's Ministries. And as I said, the school has 28 countries represented. That means there's at least 28 moms from different countries at that school. And it's an opportunity to build relationships with the moms. And then I will also be doing a baking ministry in my home. And that is going to be an exciting thing. Seeing how God uses that to open doors. There's a farmer's market at the school every Wednesday. So I'll be taking cupcakes and bundt cakes and rolls and cookies and all kinds of things to the school and selling them there. And then the profits that will be used to help subsidize other ministries that are on the field, whether it's women's ministries or children's ministries, Farming God's Way, community health empowerment, university discipleship ministries. There's all kinds of ministries that are taking place on the field in Uganda that need just a little bit of help with their finances. So I'm praying that this baking ministry, it's kind of a behind-the-scenes kind of thing to help other ministries. And that's one thing that Kenneth and I often do. We are behind the scenes. People have no idea often what is going on in the garage, and he'll tell you about that. The garage in our house is where the print shop is. And behind those doors, nations are being impacted.
Well, it's great to be back. Locust Grove is one of those, to us, unique churches, and we go to a lot of churches, that gives in a myriad of different ways to so many different people and constantly, and been giving to our ministry for many, many years. And we cannot say thank you enough for helping us to minister in Tanzania first and in Uganda now. We've been in Uganda since 2004. And God is so good to use you as a body of Christ to give to our ministry and so many other ministries. And I love the Lord today. I love Jesus. He saved me in my 20s, and I'm going to serve him until I die, and hopefully in Uganda for a lot longer. And anybody here have a sweet tooth? The print shop's in our garage, one-car garage and an office behind it, and we do a lot of printing for Christian ministries in that small area. And we print for individual missionaries and Christian organizations. We only print Christian literature here to acknowledge Jesus and serve him. So one gentleman came into the shop. We do some printing for him. He's in the country north of Uganda called South Sudan or Southern Sudan. Language translation. And so he got a book printed there, and he told me a story about sweets. That's why I asked you that question. Now, I'm going to get back to that a little bit later. And then you see that picture there. That's kind of like you would describe that. Well, that's almost in the middle of nowhere. And one time in particular, there was a few pastors I was taking to their village. I'd never been there before. And they were in the vehicle to direct me because you couldn't just say, well, go on highway, whatever. And so we were on the main road, and we got off the main road to a dirt road and to a lesser dirt road and to a lesser dirt road until there was no road, and they had just hacked and cleared brush where you could get a car back there. And I remember the brush sometimes just scraping against the car. They just didn't cut it wide enough, and we finally came to an opening, and there was their village, and they had a church there. Wasn't much of a church, and there are places like that in Uganda, a lot of them. I've been to a few of those, and it's in places like that that John and a lot of other missionaries minister, and they are the print shop is what we call it, to print their materials to go back to their villages where they minister to people that I don't know and in languages I can't speak. And so I love serving in the print shop, and I love printing materials that go to places that I'll never be, possibly in other countries as well. And there's a young man I work with. His name is Leonard. Leonard Katunda. You see him, his picture. He's usually smiling. And he's running the print shop right now as we're in the States. He's done this. This is the second time now he's done that. And when he came to the shop, he didn't even know how to spell printing, and much less do anything. So God brought him to me. And he's a very unique young man of integrity, single guy going to university at night, working the print shop during the day. And we have fun in the print shop, printing for Jesus. And we laugh and we're serious and we talk about deep things. And I really thank God for the opportunity to mentor Leonard. He came from just a hard life. And loves Jesus, loves serving in the print shop, loves printing almost as much as me now. But that's going to be hard to match. But before we left Uganda last time, he asked me this question. And we were about getting ready to leave, and we were just talking. And he said, we were talking about some things that we were printing and where they were going. And he said, Kenneth, did you ever think that a place so small could do such things? And I said, Leonard, that is a great question. And the only answer I had was, but God. I said, Leonard, that is the only way we can do anything in this shop, much less do the things, print the materials that we do to go to the places that they go. And that satisfied him, and it satisfied me too, because that's why we're here. Amen? We're here to serve Jesus, do what we can. And give him all the glory, because he deserves it all. I don't deserve any of it. I never will deserve any of it. He deserves all of it. Now, back to the sweets. Okay, so maybe you forgot about that question. So John came to the print shop and wanted me to print a book, the book of Jonah, in a language called Arabic Creole. Might not have ever heard that language. What we print in so many different languages. You ever heard of the language Jumjum? Yeah, it's a real language in South Sudan. And we print a lot of materials in a lot of different languages. We don't prepare anything. We just to get those materials ready to be printed. That's all done before it comes to us. And we print the books and get those all ready and give them back to these ministries. But John told me this story. He needed the book of Jonah printed in the language of Arabic Creole. Okay, so he was invited by that tribe to go back and share and preach and teach. And so he had gone back, and they little church, I'm sure, in this little, maybe a little village in a tucked away somewhere in that troubled country of South Sudan. And he's about to teach and preach, and they're worshiping. And then they finished their worship, and they started to read the scripture in the book of Jonah. Now, this is, I believe he didn't tell me this, but or if he did, I've forgotten, but I think it was the first book of the Bible ever printed in Juba or Arabic Creole. So somebody read the scripture in English. Now, a few of them knew English, and then somebody read the scripture in a little bit different Juba Arabic Creole. Juba is the capital of South Sudan. And then John said, now let me read it in Arabic Creole. Now, I call that their heart language. Okay, so English is my heart language. We know Swahili, so if I'm speaking in Swahili and I get mixed up, I'm going to revert back to English because that's my heart language. That's what I grew up with. That's what I learned as a child. And so Arabic Creole is their heart language. And he read the scripture, same one, in that language. And he said people just listened. They were quiet. And then the worship leader went back up in the front and he said, now what we've just heard is like a sweet. I can't imagine. It's like a sweet. We don't even need to hear the message of God's word that this missionary has come so far to tell us, because what we've just heard is something so sweet and so rare. And to understand that, you have to realize that they don't get candy. We call it candy. They don't get sweets. They might not have ever even had a piece of candy in their life, but they knew what it was. And so he was trying to convey to the missionary and his fellow villagers that it was so rare and so sweet to hear someone read scripture in his own heart language. Now, we've had English. I did some research after he told me that story, and someone began translating the scripture into English. The first manuscripts began in the 1380s, over 600 years ago. And we have more than 50 mainline translations of the Bible in English, full 66-book Bibles, 66 of the Bible in English. We have English Bibles at our disposal, and any time we want to read any of the books, we have it, and we've had it for hundreds of years. And in 2017... villagers, tribes are getting God's word, one book of 66 books for the first time in their language. And I just really, I thank God that the print shop's a part of that, a small part. I know many organizations are doing translating scriptures for tribes all over the globe, not just East Africa where we live. But God is good, isn't he? He's very, very good to use a wretch like me doing something I love in a place that I love being. And we're running to some digital equipment. We stopped the manual offset printing, and God provided that equipment for us, so we're able to print some high-quality books at low cost for these organizations. Take a look at some of those books on the table in the foyer. You'll be amazed at what the little print shop in Uganda can do. And I just think that's how God is. That's how wonderful he is. That's what he can do. I'm overwhelmed sometimes that God brought us graciously to Uganda. We print a lot of books like this, just simple books that teach people how to read, so eventually they can read God's word in their own language. And it's this, we print books like this that are about this size that are a book of the Bible that have been, we've learned later, or they told us while we were printing it, that by the way, just like it was, they're talking about the weather, this tribe has never had God's word in their language, and you're printing the first one. I just thank God again every time they tell us that. This time, let me just leave this with you. Just this time, of the year, people talk about God more. People talk about or hear the name of Jesus more. I was remembering a friend of mine who, after I was saved, he was a really good friend of mine. We used to do some terrible things together, and I got saved, and then he kind of just freaked him out. And he's like, what is this guy? You know, I was going to church, and I'm talking about God, and he told me I'd get tired of that. And I thought, you know, how can I get tired of something that really happened to me, and it changed my life, and God is so good. And we separated, and he went his own way. He just could not handle my Christianity. So he just quit being my friend. And his name's Tony. Lord, I don't know where he is. I don't even know if he's alive, but help him, if he is, to hear God's name more this time of year. Hear the name of Jesus more this time of year so he will acknowledge him as Lord. I pray often when I think of Tony for God to prompt him to try to get in touch with me. He could look me up somehow. Google my name and I'm sure it would come up. World Gospel Mission, Kenneth Hobson. I just pray that he would do that. And I pray that he would get saved. God would miraculously save him because we were lost as friends back then. So I said that to remind us, when God brings them to your mind, we don't know where they are, what they're doing, but God will use those prayers like he used to save me. Thank
you. We just want to leave you with this verse of scripture. Philippians 4, it says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you.